Jury selection is underway in the high-profile case of white men accused of murdering an unarmed black man in Georgia, one of the cases that set in motion a wave of racial justice protests nationwide in the summer of 2020. William Brangham has the story as part of our ongoing coverage of Race Matters.
Judy, jury selection is underway for the three white men on trial for the murder of Ahmaud Arbery. Arbery was jogging near his home in southeastern Georgia in February of 2020 when two of the men stopped him, claiming they thought he was involved in a string of burglaries. A fight took place. One of the men had a shotgun, and Arbery was shot and killed. The two men were not initially arrested until 10 weeks later when video of the incident was revealed. The third man on trial is the one who took that video. To talk about this highly anticipated trial, I'm joined by Gerald Griggs. He's vice president of the NAACP Atlanta chapter. Mr. Griggs, thank you very much for being here. Could you just give us a sense? I know this is a very fraught time as this trial starts. What is the mood like in the community there?
Yes, the mood down in Glenn County is cautiously optimistic. As you said before, it took 74 days from the incident occurring until the videotape was released for them to make an arrest in this case. So they're cautiously optimistic, and they're hopeful that justice will be achieved in this case. And they've been watching this and participating, and many members are outside the courtroom right now waiting on jury selection, and some people are outside having a teach-in. But the community is galvanized around this case, and they will continue to push towards justice.
I can't help but notice that, again, this is one of those instances where videotape, I mean, albeit video shot by one of the men who is being prosecuted, was the turning point here, was what got state prosecutors involved and what helped turn the tide and really change the facts on the ground of what actually happened.
Yeah, that's correct. Because of the release of the tape, law enforcement got serious about this case. You know, for the longest time, Wanda Cooper Jones and other members of Ahmaud's family have been pushing for justice ever since they learned what happened to their loved one on February the 23rd, 2020. And they were always resolute in believing that he was murdered. And so once the videotape was released and it showed the world, that's when law enforcement started to actively, truly investigate and bring individuals in for questioning, as well as arrest the three suspects that were involved.
As I mentioned, the defense argues that these men were within their rights to stop Mr. Arbery. They thought he was involved in some crimes. They were legally carrying their guns, and when they confronted him, he fought back. What do you make of that argument? Do you think that's going to have any sway over the jury?
I think that that's a curious factual argument. It goes against the facts and the law. They're arguing that they had a right to arrest the individual because they believed that he was involved in some sort of criminal behavior. It turned out that the owner of the property believed there was no criminal behavior and had not empowered these individuals to make any arrest on his behalf. And ultimately, even if they were empowered to use that type of power to arrest someone, they could not use deadly force.
Where do you see this tragedy fitting in this long line of cases that we have seen that have triggered this racial justice movement across the country, from George Floyd to Breonna Taylor? Where does this fit in that?
Well, this is actually the case that began Freedom Summer 2020. It was a case that happened before George Floyd, and it brought the awareness as we were all dealing with COVID-19 and we all saw the video. It launched the new social justice movement that has gripped America. So I think that this is the very first case. And I believe that hopefully we can achieve justice like we achieved it in the George Floyd case. But ultimately, it's a little different because we're not dealing with directly law enforcement. We're dealing with vigilante justice. So it falls in line with the Emmett Till case. It falls in line with the Jordan Davis case and so many other cases throughout history. And hopefully we will see the appropriate response by the criminal justice system in this case.
I know you have been in touch with many members of the Arbery family. What is your sense from talking with them about what justice would look like to them?
They've been very clear since the very beginning. They want all individuals who were a part of this or who helped cover it up held accountable. Specifically for the three individuals on trial, they want a conviction and they want the maximum punishment under law. Like I said before, like many members of the community, they're cautiously optimistic, but they are so far happy that we have gotten to this point because of the pressure of activists, the pressure of the family, the pressure of the community, and of course, the pressure of the nation, seeing what happened in that Southeast Georgia town.
Do you think that all that pressure and all of that attention and all of the fraught history of what we've been dealing with in this country is going to make it hard for the jury to keep their eyes focused on the facts of this particular case?
No, I don't think so. I think that once you look at the facts and evidence in this case, and you look at all the body cam footage, and you look at the cell phone footage, you can come to a pretty easy decision about what happened and what was legal and what was illegal. So I don't think it's going to weigh that heavily once you look at the case. And that case will be tried in a courtroom. The judge will give curative instructions about anything that people may have seen outside of the courtroom and tell the jurors to determine the facts and the evidence based on what they see on the witness stand and what they hear from the witnesses and the documentary evidence.
All right. Gerald Griggs of the NAACP in Atlanta. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having me.